The difficulties that we're facing in the world today highlight the sinfulness of man and the brokenness of a fallen world. The Biblical Counseling Coalition is committed to bringing hope and healing to hurting people through the Word of God all around the world. Will you join us by signing up to give a monthly donation? You can do so at our website, biblicalcounselingcoalition.org. Thank you. You're listening to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. 1514 draws its name from Romans 15:14, where the Apostle Paul encourages the church that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and the Executive Director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of 1514. It's a pleasure, as always, to have you with us. If you're brand new to the podcast, I encourage you to go back and check out some of the previous episodes. You can find a ministry that you've been interested in or a counselor that you would like to find out more about in the titles there. Today I have with me, it's my first in-person interview since the COVID pandemic kicked off, and I'm really excited to have with me today Stephanie Wojnicki, who is our friend as well as the wife of our pastor and also a great singer-songwriter. So Stephanie, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Curtis.
So Stephanie, I gave a brief introduction to our audience, but why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit more?
Well, sure. So for the last 14 years, I've had the joy, as you mentioned, of being a pastor's wife, serving with my husband. We launched a church plant, and the mission there is to build a community of gospel-centered people. And so I participate regularly in leading worship there and homeschool our kids who are elementary through high school age. I graduated from the Moody Bible Institute with a sacred music degree, voice emphasis. And I'm thankful for my parents. I feel like their love, my dad's love as a pastor for wordsmithing, and my mom's love for music has kind of synthesized into my current passion for singing and writing.
No, absolutely. Well, absolutely. I didn't know that was the kind of the storm, perfect storm that brought together those things for you, but it definitely has. And that's really what I wanted to talk to you about today. I wanted to look at some of the songs that you've actually written, which have really blessed me personally, as well as our church, and talk about different aspects of music and how, one, it can be used in counseling, two, you've written some great songs to discuss scripture memory and to help people memorize scripture, but then also you've been inspired by counseling yourself to write some songs, and I want to share some of those with our audience and then talk to you about that process. So here we go. What do you think? Well, tell me the process. I want to start with the scripture memory portion. Tell me your process when you get to putting together a song to help people internalize scripture in their hearts. How do you go about that? Because I know our church memorizes scripture on a monthly basis together as a congregation. And so I'm sure sometimes the content is given to you, but how do you go from looking at pages, words on a page of scripture and turning that into a song?
Well, sure. So I'm so glad you asked me that question because it forced me to actually think about it a little bit more. So I figured out there's about five things and there's a process that really is for me that's worked for me. And the first one is to chunk it. That's what I like to call it. And that's the idea that whenever possible, we want to have as much context in our scripture memory as possible so that we don't miss those excellent little nuggets that are there. And so in that way, it's also easier to formulate a complete song. I try to kind of do a verse and a chorus model, and that gives you a little bit more to work with. So chunking is the first step. And then there's three M's. I like alliteration. So the first is mood and meter and melody. And so obviously we want to begin with the mood. We want to think and never be flippant that these are God's words, that no one cares about them more than he does. And so approaching it with reverence, thinking what kind of music genre would enhance what this is actually saying. And then for the meter, this is where it really gets interesting because I think it's important that scripture memory songs sound like the way you would say them. because then you can recite them to someone and not feel like you're singing a silly song, right? And so the way that I have done that is just to literally say it over and over and over until it feels natural. Hmm. And then that becomes the basis for how it's going to rhythmically play out. And it also helps with memory hooks. Like if you can find, oh, is there a little, and we use the ESV right now, if there's anything within that translation that maybe repeats itself, to capitalize on that, to monopolize on that. And then the last thing is the melody. And that's really where the song takes shape. And it's probably the most fun thing. One thing with writing melodies is I love to do it away from the piano. I think someone advised me to do that once, and it gives you a lot more freedom to hear how it would sound and if it would pass the quote shower test. So if you can sing it in the shower with no accompaniment, to me, it's a song that can really counsel you no matter where you are.
Hmm. No, that's really helpful. It's a nice synopsis of your process. And I think it's also something that people could take themselves and learn and do as well. Obviously, for people who are more musically gifted, this is going to be something that's applicable to them. But I know a lot of our biblical counselors may be gifted in that area, and it might be a helpful way to encourage them in that. I want to share actually one of the songs that you've written, and this is technologically the first time we've done this on the podcast, so hopefully there's no hiccups there. But I think this song encapsulates your whole process really well, especially like you said, of the chunking, of taking in the context. And I loved when we memorized this passage, for those of you who have been in biblical counseling for a while, as soon as we get in the song, you'll recognize the passage. But you backed up in the text just a few words to add context to the heart of this message. And this is a passage that is really commonly used in biblical counseling, and I think you will understand why when we hear it.
The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, Jesus. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Jesus.
Wow, that's obviously for Philippians chapter 4, starting verse 6, but mm-hmm. you, as I mentioned before, back up into verse 5 and add in that sentence, the Lord is near, and I thought that was such a great mm-hmm. idea. Was that your idea or Aaron's?
I was just about to interrupt you and say all of that was Aaron, my husband, who I am so thankful for. He is truly a partner in this. And I remember that conversation where he said, I really want to do that. And it's interesting how without that part, it has a totally different meaning. And so I'm so thankful for his role in just encouraging and giving that great feedback when whenever needed.
Well, it's a good reminder, a good word to us as biblical counselors who, especially when we get familiar with and used to using the certain texts again and again and again, we can jump right to them and forget to that maybe the person sitting in front of us has never read this in context, and we need to remember to bring the context to bear in
Absolutely.
That passage and understanding. So that's a great song, and I think a good segue into how maybe we can use music in the counseling process. I was surprised actually a couple of years ago at the BCC Leadership Summit, one of the counselors shared that sometimes they'll assign a Spotify playlist actually to counselees to help them meditate on and focus on and think about the things that they've been discussing in counseling. And you've written some songs that could absolutely be used for this as well. What do you think about that process? How have you seen music play a part in your counseling?
Yes. I think it definitely has a profound influence on all of us. And I was even thinking about just the role music plays in our society, that it's the same reason why when you go into a store, you know, there's music that's always playing in the background, because it does influence our behavior and our thoughts. And especially as the people of God, we have to be thinking how we can use music. But I think also, even before we get to that step, thinking, how is music already being used in the life of the counselee? And maybe a place to begin, if we're working with someone, is just to ask them, what are you listening to right now? And let them share. And obviously, there may need to be some putting off, right? Before we can even put on. And it may be overtly sinful. But I was also thinking it could be something that is more subtle. Like, even if they say, oh, I always just have the Christian radio playing, we might need to ask them, well, what songs really mean a lot to you? Because it could be that the particular songs that they're listening to are really leaving them malnourished. And maybe they're so self-centered or feelings-driven that person is really not getting to experience the depth of what it means to claim the promises of God and that kind of thing. So maybe starting with the putting off, and then with the putting on, I love the Spotify idea, the playlist that, you know, a counselor could maybe choose carefully exactly what would benefit that person in their particular situation. I think other things one could do is have them journal about a particular song, or look up some passages that are referenced in a song. Maybe, like you say, to get that further context of what's going on. And maybe they could even put a song lyric up inside of a cabinet or somewhere prominent that they can see it.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. And I think even there, I think there's a lot of gems to be mined in thinking about this more thoroughly. Like you said, even the practice of passively listening to Christian music, I'm not going to say it's wrong to do, but I think it could potentially do us harm in a weird way of maybe just we're hearing all these beautiful, rich truths, but we're just ignoring them in a sense. You know what I mean? And just kind of letting them go by without truly reflecting on it. And that doesn't mean we can't. I love to listen to some music just going in the background, and I'm not always fully engaged with it, and I don't think it's wrong. But if we never take the time to stop and think about what we're actually hearing, I think that can could definitely lead to a problem. Well, one of the songs that I wanted to share that you wrote is called Inspired Word. I love the story of where it came from. If you wouldn't mind sharing that a little bit, and then I'll play it.
Absolutely. Well, this last year in 2019, we had the privilege of going over to Greece and doing a Footsteps of Paul tour. And the leaders of that particular tour, Scott and Denise Carroll, they have a ministry called Inspired Exhibit. And they, at the last night when we were in Athens, Greece, shared with the entire group what they do and the amazing way that they bring ancient manuscripts and all kinds of wonderful things to places that would never get an exposition like that. They've been to Belgium. They were hoping to go to Papua New Guinea soon. And it just really struck me that this this is what Jesus said would happen when all the nations would hear. Mm. And it's so exciting. And so I went to bed and basically woke up in the middle of the night. And this is one of the few times I can say that I felt like God just really just beamed that chorus right into my mind. And so I had to write down everything that I could. It took 9 months though to get those verses. So there's always a trade-off, but the good thing is they just reminded me again of how sufficient scripture really is and how powerful and all the lives that have been sacrificed to bring us what we hold in our hands.
It's a great origin for this song, and I hope that everybody enjoys it as well. I love it.
Preserved for us at precious cost, and not a single word is lost. God's sovereign care kept it for us, in it we trust. Inspired word through human hand, the Spirit breathed the Father's plan. O nations hear, peoples rejoice, from every page speaks God's own voice. Inspired word, our light has come, revealing Christ Jesus the Son. Let it go forth to every land. Upon this word inspired we stand. Proclaim to every distant land in faithfulness to his command. We go till edges of the earth, hear of new birth. Inspired word through human hand, the Spirit breathed the Father's plan. O nations hear, peoples rejoice. Inspired word, our light has come, revealing Christ Jesus the Son. Let it go forth to every land. Upon this word inspired, we stand. Plan. O nations hear, peoples rejoice, from every page speaks God's own voice. Inspired word, our light has come, revealing Christ Jesus the Son. Let it go forth to every land, upon this word inspired.
I love that song, and honestly, I could probably spend an entire podcast just breaking down different elements of that word. So, thank you for writing it.
Praise the Lord! Thank you.
You can just all throughout, I could hear different elements of scripture. You know, the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom. The centrality of Christ is the purpose of the word. The purpose is to take the message forth throughout the word. And you see First Peter of suffering, people who have suffered for God's word, and just so many things. And I think that's one of the things I love about music and how we can use it in counseling is it helps people to internalize and take into their hearts really grand truths of scripture and theological things that we want them to believe and want them to know, but that it really helps embed it internally.
Yes.
That's not really a question, but what do you think about that?
Well, I was just going to say, you've said it exactly right, that it goes from the cognitive into the affective, and that it becomes part of our operating system.
Yeah, no, that's a good analogy there. No, and that's one of the things I do love about music, and you mentioned that aspect that it is more than cognitive, because as biblical counselors, this is one thing that we need to remind ourselves of focus on in our counseling is we are not cognitive behavioral therapists. Mm. We aren't just trying to change people's thinking. We're changing their lives, their wills, their affections, their emotions. Mm. Every aspect of the human heart is needs to be modified and made like Christ. And music is one of those things that really does, like when everybody who's listened to music knows that experience of just internally being swelled up with just a desire to go out and do battle, like an empowerment, or like a grieving with those who grieve. And you mentioned that in your writing process, you try to encapsulate the mood of the passage when you're doing scripture memory. What is that like when you're pouring yourself into it emotionally, spiritually? What's that like for a writer, a creative who's making something like that?
I would say that it's exhausting and exhilarating.
That's good. Also alliterated.
I know. But I think also it's kind of like having a baby, actually, in that you're laboring to bring forth something that you can't wait to hold in your hands. Mm. And in this case, with music, that it would be hopefully a gift to the church, to the people of God. Maybe saying something in a fresh way. I think the biggest hurdle to overcome, and I know a lot of listeners who have written things, or whether it be in a book or a song, it takes humility, and you come to see the pride that you didn't even realize was there when you start holding this out for someone else's evaluation and critique. I think it's a good thing for us to counsel ourselves as we're writing things, just to remember, I don't see this the way that I think I do. And I need you to help me to see how I can make this better, so it would better serve those who I'm writing it for.
Yeah.
And I'll, you know, just mention my husband again. I mean, he wouldn't really call himself a musician, but indispensable in terms of using his abilities as a counselor. I mean, he's about to get his certification there, and pastoral, communicating, all those things coming together. Like, he was the one who, in the song you just played, he encouraged me to try to find a way to have a verb begin each verse. And so that helped kind of give it the structure that it desperately needed. And of course, brevity is a virtue in songwriting. And so I think all of those things require collaboration, and you just can't do it on your own. So for those listening, it's helpful to consult a pastor or someone else, a musician, someone else that can give you helpful feedback.
No, that's really good, because I know a lot of our audience are not necessarily musically gifted, and I enjoy singing, but there's a whole different level of musical talent and gifting that songwriting requires. But like you said, all of us, all of the gifting that God gives us is going to be sharpened by other believers, other people helping. So maybe if you're not the musician writing, maybe if you know somebody there, you can help them improve their craft and grow in that. So no, that's a really, really good encouragement. Well, the last song I want to share with everybody and then talk about is actually a song that I know people have been inspired by suffering and trials and what God's taught them to write songs. I've heard people talk about that before, but I think you're the first person who actually vocalized to me as a counselor, as a biblical counselor, that a song was inspired by your experience not receiving counsel, but giving it and the process. And I thought, I've never thought about that before. So obviously we don't want you to violate confidentiality or anything, but could you kind of give us a broad idea of the backstory of this song or others that you've written that have been inspired by the experience of ministering God's word to another person?
Sure. Well, the story behind the song, God of the Resurrection, is there was someone who was close to me who I had heard sort of through the grapevine was a professing Christian but was planning to have a divorce, was pursuing a divorce with her husband. And I didn't regularly interact with this person, but you know when the Lord is leading you to do something that is in alignment with his word, and it was actually on an Easter Sunday that I felt compelled, like I could not even rest before I went and spoke to this friend and just pleaded with her to reconsider. And it seems like a really strange thing to do on Easter, but it turned out she was home alone, nobody was there, and it was obviously a divine appointment. And sadly, she did not respond to, in the moment anyway, the pleas. And so I was basically just praying and crying and asking her if I could pray for her at the end, because it just didn't seem like she was going to change her mind. But it dawned on me in my praying for her that, man, if there was ever a day that God can change this heart and this marriage, it would be today. I mean, he is the God who, he conquered the grave.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of what brought about this song is just looking at all the different ways we doubt his power and looking at three of the people in the Bible who struggled in ways like ours.
Yeah. No, I think I'll be honest, this is one of my favorite worship songs of all time. And I don't say that that's not flattery. I'm not saying it lightly. And I almost tear up every single time we sing it at church. And so I'm going to try to get through it.
Oh.
All right.
Well, thank
but
you.
I really hope that it is a blessing to our listeners as well.
God of an empty tomb, anxious and distressed, questioning God's goodness, unsure he loves best. Will we trust our master, willing to be awed? What man can't imagine is possible with God. God of the resurrection, God of an empty tomb, Lord of the impossible, is there anything you can't do? God of the resurrection, God of a vacant grave, Lord of the impossible, is there anyone you can't save?
Man, I love that song. I think you just took the experience that many mm-hmm. people have in counseling, anxiety, fear, doubt, and you found, and you just helped us examples from scripture of people who were clearly facing these things. Mm-hmm. It just brought us into their experience and built that bridge between the lived experience of Peter and Martha, and brought that to the reality of what people face today. Mm-hmm. And then just pointed to the cross and the resurrection. And it was just, not to totally lose it here on this podcast. No, I really genuinely love that song, and
thank you.
It's, and even the bridge is so applicable to the human experience. Like, okay, God, we believe these things.
Yes.
Help us when we don't.
Right.
And yeah, obviously you're drawing Amen. From scripture tons. So, oh man, Stephanie, I'm going to totally ruin my reputation of a big, strong man. So anyway, no, just kidding.
That's a good thing to cry about, is
absolutely
God's power.
Yeah. And obviously, God created, I shouldn't say that, big, strong men cry all the time. So, is there anything else you would want to say about this topic that we haven't drawn out already? We're close to the end of our time, but I'm happy to spend a little extra time talking about it.
Maybe just one thing, and that is, as your audience thinks about music, to realize that choosing music and having people write music that really feeds the souls of the people in their care is actually a form of preemptive counseling. Mm. That's something that Aaron and I have kind of dialogued about. As you mentioned in the beginning, one thing that our church has been doing the last few years, which kind of brought all this about really, was just taking one passage to memorize as a church together every month. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's helped to unify our church as a group of believers, when you have seasoned saints all the way down to toddlers who are learning and meditating on the same verses and hopefully putting them into practice. I think the blessing there is that it can actually encourage people to self-counsel through the Word of God so that you might not see them on your couch.
Yeah.
You know? And
not like the Freudian style counsel.
No.
I know
what do you
mean.
Call it? The chair?
In your home getting counseled, or in your office. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And just, I guess, pointing them to the one thing that can meet every need. Yeah. And that's just really been a blessing to us. And I think there are some ways that it can be done intentionally so that there's actually a theme. That's something we've done the last couple of years. We've had a theme where each month we're learning about a certain aspect of that theme, and it's a blessing.
Yeah.
It sticks with you.
Absolutely. No, it's a really good word to be filling our minds with these things before troubles arise, because mm-hmm. they will come. So if we're prepared, then we'll be better off. You, some of these songs are available. Where could people, if they wanted to buy them, to listen to themselves, where could they do that?
Yes. Yeah, so I have a website. It's just my name, StephanieWojnicki.com, and I'm going to spell StephanieWojnicki. com.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also some of these songs are really great. I mentioned we sing a lot of them in church, so they're able to be adapted as praise and worship songs in the church. Is there a special different kind of process people need to go to get that right, that whatever license to do that?
Well, thank you for asking. I think if people can just be directed to the website, either it's going to be there or it'll be coming soon. And by all means, reach out and contact me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for the work that you do on that. And I pray that I know our church will continue to be blessed by, and I pray that many, many more people are blessed by the gifting that God has given you. And even our audience would really enjoy that as well. The end of the last segment of our podcast is 2-minute favorites. Are you ready for that? This is just a kind of a fun way for everybody to get to know you a little bit. Let me start my timer. Otherwise, you will get too much time.
Okay.
All right. And here we go. What is your favorite food?
Movie, theater, popcorn.
What is the favorite gift you have ever received?
A trip to Prince Edward Island with my daughter and my mom.
What's the favorite gift you've ever given?
Shutterfly books for my family members.
Favorite word?
Friday, because that's when my husband has his day off and usually helps me.
Least favorite word?
Offended.
Favorite book of the Bible?
The Gospel of John.
Favorite extra-biblical book?
Pilgrim's Progress.
And what's your favorite color?
Navy.
And favorite sport?
Not applicable.
Favorites. Well, I guess favorite sports team probably is out then too. Favorite verse of the Bible?
I like many, but one I love is Mark 1:7. After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Mint chocolate chip.
Favorite candy?
Starbursts.
Do you have a favorite quote?
I don't.
All right. Favorite restaurant?
Right now, the Pine Room.
Okay. If you had one superpower, what superpower would you choose?
Making time stand still.
Favorite animal?
I actually like plants, and they're sort of like animals to me.
Okay. If your mother were to describe you in one word, what word would she use?
Blessed.
What's the most interesting thing that you have done that most others have not?
I got to go to Israel on its 50th anniversary as a nation, and it was during my college years, and we got to sing as a choir all over the Holy Land and sort of experience everything and also sing about what we were experiencing at the same time.
All right. Well, the timer just went off, and that was a good way to end. And you came prepared, so you almost knocked out the entire list. Well done.
It's a good list.
Well, Stephanie, thanks so much for being with us on the podcast today. It was a real blessing.
Thank you, Curtis, for having me. I'm very honored.
Thank you for listening to this episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the ministry of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, you can visit our website at biblicalcounselingcoalition.org. You can also contact us at podcast@biblicalcc.org. Special thanks to Carrie Felton, our podcast producer, who arranges and coordinates these interviews, and James Wills, our podcast engineer, who does the sound editing and makes these episodes sound so great. I thank you for being with us again and hope you can join us next time on 1514.